CBSI and the World. I'm John Batchelor with Victor Davis Hanson, the Hoover Institution, the author of The Second World Wars, How the First Global Conflict Was Fought and Won. He also is keeping a blog, VDH's Blade of Perseus, and we're looking at Historian's Corner, some mythologies. And the question is asked in the second part, did Germany win the world wars before it started a new one? The answer looks to be yes, but starting a new one, there is the puzzle. Hitler attacking Stalin. They had been allies. They'd carved up Poland. Soviets had taken Estonia and Latvia. Germany had taken Lithuania. They were stand down. The Russians may or may not have been preparing an attack. They were also concerned that Hitler would attack. When Hitler attacks Russia, he'd already won the war. Why did he go the next step? And I'll combine that with what happened later in the year when Tokyo attacked the United States and also involved Hitler, although oddly. But the first thing, why did Hitler attack Russia?
Well, there were two reasons. One was short-term loss of deterrence. And by that, I mean the Soviets in 37, 38 had liquidated their officer corps. Perhaps 30,000 were executed, maybe another 10 or 20 were incarcerated. So in the German mind, the Soviet Union was starting from scratch with a new officer corps. Second, when they had gone into Poland on the 1st of September, the Soviets were supposed to have a demarcation point. And whereas the tripartite attack on Poland by the Germans was extremely successful, the Soviets, who had lost in the 20s to the Poland, were tardy. And they didn't seem impressive to the Germans when they did come in. And third, in November, when they went into an ally or the quasi-ally of Germany, Finland, they lost over 500,000 casualties over that winter war. And so in Hitler's mind, he didn't know a lot about the T-34 tank or the productive capacity of the Soviet Union, but he did know that their officer corps was in shambles, that had had consequences on the battlefield with an anemic performance in Poland. They had been all but defeated for 3 months in Finland. And so he didn't think they were very impressive. He didn't realize that historically, whether it was against the Swedes or Napoleon, Russia is as robust and effective on its own soil as it is ineffective when it's got an expeditionary army. And so that was one thing. And then strategically, it seems a little strange, but he did really believe that he could isolate Britain without having, he couldn't invade it. But if he defeated the Soviet Union, he would have so many resources at his disposal. And the United States then wouldn't dare come into the war, and Britain would be all alone and would sue for peace. So here you have a very strange idea that you cannot defeat a powerful empire in Britain. So you then invade one of the largest, most powerful countries in the world as a way of I don't know what, not taking your eye off the ball, but putting your eye on the ball. It doesn't make sense, but Hitler thought that it did.
The two-front war was Hitler's fear. That's why one of the explanations for the Moscow Act, the Ribbentrop arrangement with Molotov for the non-aggression pact. Did he solve the two-front war in his own mind before he attacked Russia?
Yeah, he did. He felt that the land war was over with. He had set up Vichy France. There was only about 100,000 soldiers in all of Western Europe and Scandinavia that were occupying the entire continent, which is today the present-day EU. So he had beefed up the army. He had over 3 million German soldiers. He had about a half a million or 700,000 Hungarians, Romanians, Spaniards, Italians. It was very multinational. It wasn't unilateral. An enormous force. It was the largest invasion force, bigger than Xerxes' invasion of Greece. Largest, I think it is still the largest in history. So in his way of thinking, it was going to be go right into Russia, get to Moscow, Leningrad, in the oil fields on the Caspian Sea, and then the war is over, and they can retreat all they want out beyond the Urals. We don't care, but we'll have all the people and the good industrial sectors and the natural resource, and then Britain will sue for peace. That was his idea. And he'd gone by a logic, too, John, very quickly of World War I, where he thought, you know what, it took us 3 years 2.5 years to knock out Russia, but by mid-1917, it was all but knocked out, and it sued for peace after the Bolshevik Revolution in November. But we never got more than the Germans never got more than 80 miles into Belgium and France in World War I. So they thought, oh my God, that's the tough nut. So here comes World War II, and this magnificent, indomitable bulwark of the West, the French army, collapses in 6 weeks. So in his World War I archaic logic, he says 6 weeks. Well, in World War I, it lasted, and now, so we'll use that logic. So maybe Russia will collapse in 3 weeks, because France lasted twice as long as Russia in World War I. So if it lasted twice as long in World War II, it'll be 6 weeks, but 3 weeks into Russia. It was crazy. That's what he really believed. He was much more afraid of the French army than he was the Russians.
The Second World Wars. These are a series of wars. There's the war between Japan and the Soviet Union in 1939. There's the war in Europe when Hitler overruns continental Europe, 1939 to 1941. There's the war that is launched when Hitler invades the Soviet Union. And there's the war when Japan decides to go south, not north, and attack Britain and the United States. There is another puzzle for me, Victor. Why did Hitler declare war on the United States after Pearl Harbor?
It seems in hindsight a lunatic thing to do, because subsequent events show how absolutely stupid it was. But remember, his historians, we've got to put ourselves in the contemporary mindset of Hitler. And what he was thinking was that one of the reasons he could not defeat Britain by air was it was being supplied by Canada and through Lend-Lease to the United States. And his U-boat fleet could not be effective if it wasn't right off the coast of the United States and attacking American submarines as they left their ports, or attacking them at all. So his U-boat commanders, Admiral Dönitz, really wanted this. So he thought, you know what, I'll declare war on the United States, and in 3 months we'll sink their merchant fleet. He had no idea of Henry Kaiser or Liberty ships or Freedom ships or what we were capable of, or how few U-boats he actually had at his disposal. That was one real reason that he wanted to declare war. And then he really did overestimate the ability of the Japanese. He had seen what they had done in China. He'd seen what they'd done in Southeast Asia. He knew that they were going to appropriate the orphaned rich oil fields of the Dutch East Indies, the Shell oil fields, the breadbasket of Southeast Asia, and they were going to take the rubber of Malaysia. And he thought, you know what, they're unstoppable, especially after Pearl Harbor. So he thought, they will tie the United States down in a two-front war. It won't be able to help Britain. I won't allow the United States to import food and strategic materials to Britain, so it's a win-win. And he thought that, if he had been a student of history, he would have said, in 1917, the Americans declared war in April, and they had no army, essentially. 2 years later, by the end of the war, they had sent 2 million doughboys into France without losing one in transit. And they were one of the biggest industrial producers of munitions in the world. So people had warned him about that, but he didn't listen to them. The productive capacity and potential of even Depression era United States.
If Hitler does not declare war in the United States after Pearl Harbor, would Roosevelt have had the authority to declare war on Germany?
I don't think he would have had the authority to bring it up. I don't think he would have had the public. So he was a very wise politician. People immediately, when there was talk of Europe first, people said to themselves, wait a minute, we're not going to put our primary efforts against the country that attacked us, but rather the country that has not attacked us.
Right.
That didn't make sense to the American people. So what he did was a compromise. It was absolutely brilliant what he did, John. He sent carriers and mostly Marines and certain types of aircraft and the submarine fleet to the Pacific. And he put most of the army divisions and heavy armor and artillery, not all, but to the Europe. And so it wasn't really a diversion or a secondary or primary front. We say 70-30 Europe Pacific, but when you actually look at the data, the amount of resources, they were quite different. They did not compete with each other in full, and it shows that we spent as much time, labor, and effort and capital in the Pacific theaters we did in Europe from the very beginning.
The book is The Second World Wars. Victor Davis Hanson is the author. To be continued. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.